Whoa.
That was like a...
There's a burp stuck in my throat.
Demon exorcism.
It's trying to get out. I got to push it back down. Stay down, demons. Are you getting called right now? Yeah. Do we need to stop? It's making buzzing noises.
Interrupted by another chicken emergency.
Jeez. Okay. So here we are. Do you have any updates for me, for your week, for your life, for your month, everything?
April Fool's wasn't that foolish.
It wasn't for me either. I tried to make the dog poop out of the toilet paper.
Didn't work.
Did not work.
I tried it too.
TikTok lied to us.
Totally lied. I did do the, I was going to do the chocolate dipped Brussels sprouts to look like cake pops. But I didn't have fresh Brussels sprouts. So I went outside and picked like little teeny tangerines.
Okay.
And made those look like cake pops. And it totally backfired because I gave one to Eden and a couple of her friends. And they took a bite and then just peeled the chocolate off of the orange and ate it.
That sounds delicious, actually.
Because it had like the oil from the orange.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that great.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't. What was it? Was it a Thursday, Friday? I don't know. I didn't do anything. I actually forgot like halfway through. Didn't really see a lot of like fun branding stuff either. Did you?
Fun branding?
Yeah, yeah. So like every year, like Oreo and Pepsi and like all of these major brands put out like a fake
April Fool's.
April Fool's new release of like a special flavor or something.
Peloton did a good one.
Tell me.
They did one that said that they're taking away the high-fiving and the shout-out option on their rides because they think it's too much of a distraction and people should focus on the ride and the workout.
That's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw the Spartan races, the obstacle racing.
Mm-hmm.
They do it every year. And this year they put out an announcement that they're going to have nude races.
Yes, sign me up.
It was so funny. You've got to see the pictures of these people that they're probably wearing like Speedos or something, but going through these obstacles and like their junk's all blurred out.
That's fantastic.
It was a good one. It was.
Good.
But in my
Have
personal
fun with
life,
it.
Not so much.
Well, remember when there were flowers being left at Eric's doorstep?
Yes. But that was a crazy woman. And she was like trying to exorcise the demons out of his house.
That doesn't make it any better.
She finger painted a cross on his door. Oh, that was hilarious. We've got to get Eric and Daryl in to tell that story.
It was a great story. Like for days, flower bouquets were being left and notes. Remember notes?
Yeah,
were being
she
written?
Was leaving notes. She was leaving flowers. She was painting on their like windows
with like
and
greasy
doors.
Stuff.
I would have been out of there. Like there's no way I would have like gotten home from work, saw that some crazy person like was leaving notes and flowers and shit on my door, and then went ahead and gone in and gone to bed. There's absolutely no way.
It did not faze them.
No, that's insane.
Other than that, I have no exciting news.
Okay.
Anything for me?
I got back from Colorado. Mm-hmm. I'll make it quick because I have like a really long story. I ended up ziplining. Oh, I have presents for you. I'll give them to you
presents.
Next time. Okay. Sorry, they're not.
I have presents for you. Just kidding.
Well, I want to give them to you on the podcast, but I don't. Okay. They're like in my car somewhere.
Maybe
something.
We'll do it on Patreon.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Oh, let's talk about Patreon. We have two patrons. Patreons.
I saw.
Patrons.
Patrons. Patrons on Patreon.
Little Pats.
Sure.
I don't know. What do you call them?
I don't know. Didn't you name them? Didn't you like give them levels?
Oh, yeah, they have levels. So our very first person that signed up on March 25th was a little drip named Brie, Brianna. Aww. So she, I guess, heard our episode, went on right away, signed up at the $3 level, and we're super excited to have her as part of our Ripple Podcast familia.
Thanks, Brianna.
And then we had another person sign up a few days later, Karen, at the $5. She's a full-on Ripple.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks, so Karen.
She's ripping some good ones for us. So thanks, Karen and Brie.
Thank you.
We're super excited.
We've got to come up with some good content.
Yeah. Check back and check out your little private messages and stuff you'll be getting. And
we're just going to send presents.
And presents in the mail.
Yes.
And thanks. Just thanks.
Thanks. I think we're just going to get right into it because I've got a lot of things to tell you. So first of all, we do have a drink this week.
Oh, yeah, I'm a fancy drink. Sucking it down already.
It is called the TikTok Lime. And I went on
L-I-M-E.
L-I-M-E. Okay. Why did you think live?
I thought line. Like,
oh, no.
Like a line.
So this drink was created on a TikTok live by the creator called Silver Lining Lessons. And she makes all kinds of fancy drinks. Like, it's like majority of her account. And it's like kind of like if you've ever been to an Herbalife shake shop thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So she makes all of those, but not using any Herbalife products.
So like layered drinks, like pretty like pink on the top and blue in the middle and green on the bottom.
Yeah,
drinks.
Turbo teas. So this one had like a sour blue raspberry on the bottom, and then it had pineapple in the middle, and then on the top it had mango and tahini.
Yeah, we probably should have took a picture before I started drinking it and turning it brown.
Also, I'm now realizing that it's called lime, and there was probably lime somewhere in that list of ingredients, and I totally forgot to put it in. So we have a limeless TikTok lime right here.
Yeah.
But the reason we have a TikTok created drink is because we are talking about a story that kind of evolved on TikTok.
Okay, I want to hear it because I'm super confused.
Okay. So this starts out with something that happened in Florida, of all places.
Or anywhere else.
In Florida. On May of 2018. So Cameron Herron, have you heard that name before?
Should I?
Well, if you're like in your teens and 20s and you're on TikTok, you've probably heard of Cameron Herron.
Okay.
So he and his older brother Tristan hopped into...
I thought it was a girl.
Cameron. Oh, no. They're both men.
Oh, wait. Cameron and Herron?
No, Cameron and Tristan.
Oh, gosh.
Because Tristan can also be a girl's name.
Yes.
I actually shouldn't. Well, I don't think he was an adult at the time. We'll get into that. That's like part of this story. All right. So Cameron and Tristan hop into Cameron's new black Ford Mustang and headed to a local Tampa gym. And the new car was actually a graduation gift since he had just graduated high school. He was going to Tampa. I know. His parents bought it for him. It's a brand new one too. It's like not even a used car.
What'd you get for graduating high school?
I think my parents got me a sundae from McDonald's. Actually, no, that was college. That was college. No, okay. So my college graduation, my parents didn't want to go anywhere for dinner because they knew every place surrounding the college would have had like reservations booked up. So they're like, oh, well, we want to drive home tonight and it's kind of a long drive home. So let's just go to the McDonald's and get a sundae. Turns out, as always, the ice cream machine's broken.
What is the deal with that?
So
it's an episode on the broken McDonald's ice cream.
We totally could. We could investigate that. Yeah, we got McDonald's coffee.
Oh, there you go. Uh-huh. Did you go through the drive-thru even?
No, no.
Walked in.
Yeah. That's McDonald's coffee.
Happy graduation.
Thanks. What'd you get?
For high school, I got a bedroom set.
Jesus.
Well, I barely graduated high school. You got to remember that. I worked really hard.
I don't think I got anything.
But I didn't get anything for college.
Well, anyway, Cameron got a black Ford Mustang, brand new car. And the two of them were planning on meeting up with their friend, John Barnew. And as they were driving, they saw his car, like, up ahead. He was driving this gold Nissan Altima, and they were just cruising down Bayshore Boulevard. So Bayshore Boulevard, as the name implies, runs along the water, and it's, like, a really popular tourist destination.
Okay.
It's kind of like you have the road and then you have this boardwalk and right on the other side of the boardwalk is the sand. You're just like right on the water's edge. And it's used a lot by like joggers and walkers and people just kind of like hanging out, enjoying the water.
Long Beach style.
Totally. And speaking of Long Beach, this is actually the longest continuous waterfront sidewalk in the United States.
Oh, fun fact. Like,
yeah, super fun fact. Claim to fame. So some of those tourists walking along that day were 24-year-old Jessica Raysinger and 21-month-old daughter Lillian.
That's a cute name. I feel like that's a super cute name.
You feel like it's a super cute name?
Mm-hmm.
So they're walking along. Jessica is pushing her baby daughter in a stroller. And she is like cruising down the boulevard and she waves to her husband who is driving off, like he passes her and he's going to go pick up dinner for that night.
Cool.
So there's like a lot of things going on right now and I don't know if you have any idea of how they're all going to come together.
No clue.
But meanwhile, Cameron caught up with John.
Okay.
So Mustang catches up with the Nissan.
The gold car.
The gold car at a stop sign. And he kind of wants to show off his new car.
Rev.
Right, exactly. And he begins to speed off as the light changes. And because they are teenagers,
they're stupid.
They're really, really stupid, especially teenage boys in fancy cars. And just to give you an idea, the speed limit on Bayshore Boulevard is 45 miles per hour.
Wow, that's faster than I thought it would be.
Yeah, for being like a pretty populated area, mm-hmm. It kind of is. But they end up reaching speeds of 102 miles per hour.
Oh, no.
And the two are racing down the road and they approach West King Crossing when they notice a pedestrian in the crosswalk.
Great. Does she have a 21-month-old baby?
She does. In a stroller. Mm-hmm. She's pushing that
21-month-old.
Oh, I shouldn't be laughing, but I just can't talk. And Rosa has heard me like try to say 21-month-old like 5 times by now. 21-year-old. So Jessica looks up and she sees the two cars rapidly approaching her. And she has like no time to save herself. But
yeah, they're going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. And what she does try to do is she tries to push the stroller, like just shove it to safety.
Oh, total mama reaction.
To try to like save her daughter. Unfortunately, the cars are going too fast. John, he tries to stop and swerves to miss them. But Cameron just like he can't even stop. Like he hits the brakes and he goes skidding into them. Both Jessica and Lillian end up getting hit. Jessica is thrown and killed by the impact. Baby Lillian is rushed to the hospital and ends up dying a couple days later.
Oh my gosh.
On the scene, all three of the boys are arrested for homicide.
Good.
So we have Cameron, his brother, and his brother Tristan, and the friend John.
Why was his brother arrested?
I think they just took everyone at that time. I think they were still just
questioning. Because he was just a passenger, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So they were still kind of investigating. It's like, everybody's going, we all need to question you, mm-hmm. and figure out like what charges are going to be pressed.
Okay.
So 2 years pass before they actually go to trial. And at this time, 17-year-old John's charges were bumped from juvenile to adult. Tristan, the passenger and the person who had a reputation for street racing,
mm-hmm.
the older brother, his charges do get dropped because, like you said, he was the passenger. So you really can't, even if he was necessarily like encouraging or something in them to race, like he didn't
force them
do
to.
It. Yeah, exactly. So Cameron, who is driving the Mustang, he has his Mustang seized as evidence, and it actually has like a black box sort of thing where it like kind of records the computer in the car.
Really?
Yeah, which I didn't realize was a thing.
Huh.
But they come to find that this wasn't the first time that he was doing something like that day. Like earlier in the day, he was already going over 100 miles an hour, and he was exceeding 100 miles an hour when he tried to hit the brakes and hit his victims.
Mm-hmm.
By this time, everyone in Tampa had heard about this case. Like it's just a huge tragedy, and everyone sees these mugshots of the drivers, and they kind of like they put them on Facebook. A lot of like local sheriff's departments, police departments will do that to kind of get the word out of like people who are distracted driving, reckless driving, drunk driving, anything like that, to kind of like serve as a warning, like, hey, this could be you. You don't want to end up in this situation.
So were both drivers minors at the time?
No. So
John was, but he was tried as an adult, correct?
Correct. So John was 17. His juvenile charges got pushed to adult charges, and Cameron was 18. So he's an adult.
Because I was wondering how they put those mugshots out if they were minors still.
Yeah. So I am going to show you, Rosa. I'm going to send you the pictures of the mugshots.
Okay.
So we will put this on the Instagram so you can see. So here's the mugshots. On this side, we have Cameron.
Okay.
In the middle is John. Mm-hmm. And that's the brother, Tristan.
Okay.
So what are your impressions, if any, of these mugshots? Just like give me your first things that pop into your mind.
They look very like average, typical young boys. I feel like they look like they'd be on a movie. They're very like, what's the word? Like caricature looking.
Okay. So now put yourself in the mindset of a teenage girl. Do you have, would that like change your impression of these mugshots at all?
Do they think the guy on the left is hot?
You nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
So this story, although it's super tragic and it's a terrible accident, or I mean, that's kind of debatable on whether or not it's an accident. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But it's like a terrible thing that had happened. And it, if it were anybody else, I think it would be big news in Tampa. Maybe make the state news, but kind of fizzle out from there. Like it is, it's awful, but unfortunately things like that happen all across the country, all mm-hmm. across the world all the time, but they don't normally get international attention unless you have somebody who looks like Cameron Herron. So once this went on Facebook and later onto TikTok, Cameron and his mugshot gained international attention.
Because he's a cute boy.
Exactly.
But he's a murderer.
Yes.
Awesome.
So once his mugshot gained attention on social media, fans began to dig up other pictures on social media and create like a whole just following of him. And if you go on TikTok, which I'm going to show you a couple of these videos right now,
mm-hmm.
people created these little montages and slideshows of like just, he's just such a sweet, innocent young man, and he couldn't possibly be a murderer. He,
guess what? He is.
Needs a second chance. He's so young. He doesn't look like the type of person who could do this.
Oh, well, they're the best kind. Have you met Ted Bundy?
Oh, we'll talk about Ted Bundy. We're getting there. So I'm going to show you some of these videos, and a lot of them were created using the Britney Spears song, I'm in Love with a Criminal.
Oh, gosh.
They have not only like hundreds, possibly thousands of these videos created, there's thousands of comments saying things like, he's too cute for prison. He's so young. It was an accident. He's innocent. Please don't forget Cameron. Pray for him.
Does Cameron even know that these TikToks and like fame, Insta famous stuff like is going on?
He does, because this actually, because it was like it happened shortly before COVID, his trial got postponed for a long time. So for a while, he's just like sitting and waiting out on bond. So he sees the stuff that's coming in, and he actually disabled his social. Oh, no, he didn't disable it. He scrubbed his social media accounts, probably because there was other stuff on there that could have been used in a trial against him.
Mm.
So he actually has a TikTok account. Everything off of it is deleted, but like overnight, his following exploded.
He just went insta-famous.
Yeah. Right. So I'm going to show you one of these videos, and you can give me your reaction. You can actually...
So this is some person made it for him, about him.
Right.
Okay.
So just hit the first one.
This one here?
Sure.
Okay.
So do you want to describe to our listeners your thoughts on that video?
So it's just him in a courtroom, and he's got, you know, a face mask on because it's COVID times, and he's got his big poofy Jonas Brother hair, and he has very big expression showing. He has big eyes. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing to see. He's walking in the courtroom. He's sitting at a courtroom desk.
Yeah, so this is like the, I don't really know how the whole court system works, but this is like the initial hearing. And he walks in. And just to give you, like, if you can't look up the pictures right away, he's
in a suit. So he looks nice.
Yeah, but like his face, he's like, he has fair skin. He has like kind of a narrow, slightly pointy nose.
How can you tell he has a mask on?
Well, no, but like his mugshot.
Okay.
So if you're like following him from that, he has a really big mouth. If you look up his other pictures
you
from
can't
social
tell.
Media.
He has a giant black mask on.
No. Well, okay. It's interesting that you say that because the one clip that people keep replaying again and again, like reposting, and there's actual people that reenact this clip.
What?
Is when he's sitting down and he has his mask on, he briefly takes his mask off for like a second and takes a sip of water and puts it back on.
So they like slowed it down.
And
that's disgusting. Okay, so it's like when you take a picture in slow-mo. They've just slowed it down so much so you can see, you know, 3 seconds of his face drinking water out of a water bottle.
Yes. People are obsessed.
Why? I mean, he's a good-looking kid. But
he is. I mean, he's a little, he's like slightly feminine looking. He's got big, huge blue eyes. He has dark, curly hair.
Poofy.
Poofy hair. Which I think is the thing right
totally.
Now.
Totally.
I don't know.
But great. Guess what? He was an idiot. Doesn't mean, I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad person. He did a bad thing. But why are we celebritizing? I'm making up a lot of new words today.
It's totally fine.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Am I not? Is it because I'm not a 15-year-old girl?
I think it might be because I'm kind of the same way. I don't see it. I think he's a little too feminine. I'm not going to like. I don't know.
He could probably, I mean,
he's like a boy band.
Sure. That's exactly what he is.
He's got the boy band look.
Uh-huh.
He's got the boy band look. But what about that makes people think that he is innocent because he looks a certain way? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
And that the other guy's not.
Right. Because they're all, I mean, both of the drivers at least were equally involved.
Okay, go.
So moving on to December of 2020, just a week before the trial, John decides to take a plea deal. So that's the
gold
other driver.
Car.
That's the gold car mm-hmm. guy, the normal looking guy who's mm-hmm. not ugly. Like he's normal. He's fine. He pleads guilty to 2 vehicular homicide charges.
What kind of homicide charges?
Vehicular. Am I saying that weird?
I've never heard you say that word before.
How do you say it?
Vehicles.
Vehicular manslaughter.
Vehicular. Maybe it's because I can't say it. It sounds weird. Vehicular.
Oh, okay, this is going to be a long night. All right. And he also pleads guilty to the misdemeanor charge of street racing. And he is sentenced to 6 years. So he takes this deal. He gets 6 years in Florida State Prison, followed by 15 years probation. So, thoughts?
Okay. I hate it all. I hate that a mother and her new baby were murdered for something so stupid and reckless and avoidable. But I also hate it was an accident. It was a stupid accident, but it still could have been prevented. I don't feel like 6 years is long enough. I okay. don't for 2 lives.
Yeah,
I don't.
Okay. I'm gonna move on to Cameron.
Okay.
So he also decides to plead guilty a little while after John, but instead of pleading guilty and taking a plea deal, he decides to enter an open plea.
What's that mean?
So that means the judge looks over the entire case, all of the evidence, and makes the decision of what sentence he will receive. Okay? Which okay. he does.
Mm-hmm.
And now at this point, like, everybody is watching because people are following this story from the mugshot and they're checking in. And that's why you see all these little clips on social media, on TikTok, of him going to court. And, like, and Florida is very, very open with all of their criminal charges. Like, everything is available.
I love that.
Which is, yeah, it's great. So he's sitting before the judge and the judge goes over everything and then he gives him his sentence of 24 years in prison.
Wow.
For the 2 charges. Again, he had the same charges against him. So how do you feel about 24 years in prison?
That's a long time. That's longer than he's been alive.
Right. So if he is now 20 years old, I believe, and he got 24, so he'll be 44 years old when he gets out.
Which he still has a long life to live after that. But it doesn't really seem fair that he got 24 and the other guy only got 6.
Yeah, and I don't think that they, I mean,
like, why did one get so much more than the other?
Because he took a deal. I think it was kind of a gamble. And you never know how
the deal.
Because the minimum, and maybe the plea wasn't, like, the deal wasn't the same for Cameron, because Cameron was the one who actually made impact.
Okay.
Where John swerved. I mean, it's not really important.
No, but it's, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be that judge. I'll just right. say that much.
And you have to take into consideration, like, they went over all kinds of stuff. And I tried to make this as short as possible because, which it hasn't happened, because, you know, there's so many other details involved in this case. Like, they go over text messages. They go over his history, like, mm-hmm. his driving history. Did he have other times where he was warned? And that's something that's been going around well, social media a lot. Well, you said he had been
speeding earlier that day.
And maybe John wasn't. Like, maybe... Uh-huh. He had a lot of other things against him that John didn't have, and maybe that's why the bargain wasn't available for him. There were rumors going around that he had been warned several times previously, like been pulled over and been given warnings that he just ignored.
Maybe he should have been given tickets.
Yeah, possibly. But regardless, that's what happened. So social media, of course, loses their mind when they find out that he is getting that long of a sentence. So they show the clip of Cameron walking into the courthouse to receive the sentence. It's posted and reposted again and again. Pleas for Cameron's freedom begin to flood Twitter. So Instagram, Facebook, and the 13th Circuit Court, Hillsborough County State Attorney Andrew Warren, Florida Department of Corrections, Tampa Bay Times, and several other local and state television stations are sent letters in the mail of these strangers all across the country pleading for him to get a pardon.
How many of them are written on pink paper with scented highlighters?
Probably, like, I'd say about 87% of them would be my guess.
Yeah.
So by the end of July, there's over 100,000 tweets about Cameron, possibly far more now, and they were coming in July around every 30 seconds. TikTok had videos relating to Cameron viewed over 1.7 billion times.
I have so many thoughts.
Tell me.
And I have one major one.
Tell me.
If the amount of effort and energy that was put into this boy that no one had ever met before, but based just on his looks of a mugshot, put into something good, can you imagine how much better of a place we would live in?
Hormones, Rosa. Hormones.
But can we channel those into, like, clean energy?
No. We're all monkeys. We're all monkeys deep down. Okay. So according to Tampa Times, Cameron's house was actually starting to get all kinds of mail. Like, people found public record, I guess, of, like, where he lived. Mm-hmm. They started calling his mother.
Oh, jeez.
And she's quoted.
And saying what?
I don't know. She said it was almost like an obsession, an unhealthy obsession, Heron's mother said to some of the supporters who took an interest in her son. She knows that some of them are real people. Many of them call her all the way from the Middle East in the middle of the night.
I mean, I kind of feel bad for his brother that he's not getting any of this love.
Right. And the poor John.
Yeah. But I like, mean, but it's your brother. Like, you have, like, the same genes.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I kind of know how you feel. Like, I mean, I get all the attention, all the fan letters, all the, you know.
That's not a lie. That's not a lie at all. Like, you think Rosa's saying that to be funny? It's not. It's the truth. Okay. Okay, so why did so many people feel bad, like, for Cameron and think that he was innocent and the other guy's not. Like, we already know that, right?
Yeah,
he's because cute. He's a cute little band boy.
Mm-hmm.
Band boy? Boy band boy. I feel like those are two very different things. A band boy and a boy band boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very different.
Very different. And this isn't the first time that something like this has happened, and isn't the first time something like this has blown up on TikTok, gaining such a giant following. So there's another story that I'm going to really quickly go over. And this happened to 18-year-old Isabella Guzman. Have you heard about her?
No.
Well, she received a similar treatment after her mugshot hit TikTok.
I think we just need to do away with TikTok.
Is that the solution to all of our problems?
It might be.
Okay. Here you go. Isabella Guzman. Would you like to describe her for our listeners?
No.
Please describe her for our listeners.
She would beat me up. She looks like she would. I am scared of her. She looks really tough. She's super pretty. She's, I don't know, what race is she?
Not allowed to say that.
Oh, we're not? Is she Hispanic? With the name that, Guzman sounds Hispanic, but she looks more Asian.
Maybe she's both.
She's, you know, got straight, very straight brown hair, pretty color skin.
Again, giant eyes.
Yeah. Very Disney princess-ish.
Yeah.
Kind of very Mulan looking.
Yeah.
But no, she would kick my ass.
You're exactly right, Rosa. She would kick your ass because she stabbed her mother 79 times, resulting in her death.
Oh my God. Are you kidding? 79?
79 times. Yeah. And when she...
What? Why do I not know about her?
Okay. So basically what happened, I'll give you the rundown. She was going back and forth between her mother and her father in high school because she was, like, acting out as a teenager. She kept bringing boys home. Neither of the parents wanted to deal with her. It seemed like they were shuffling her back and forth. She finally got, like, in really big trouble for, like, sneaking a boy into the house after everybody went to bed. And I guess the mom had called the dad and said, hey, you need to deal with her. I can't handle her anymore.
How old was she?
I think she's 17 as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh no, I'm sorry. She's 18. She was 18 when this happened. But yeah, because she is also traditionally beautiful, she received all kinds of attention. And instead of I'm in love with a criminal for whatever reason, actually that song's probably played for her a lot too, but oops. She had another kind of TikTok viral video going around, and here you can hit that one.
Top left?
Sure.
Oh shit! Oh, she's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, she goes between looking at the camera and kind of smiling and then giving it like a face.
Yeah, she does. She definitely plays it up for the camera. She like she knows that that eyes are on her, uh-huh, and she is working using it to her advantage. She smiles at the camera. She like points to her eyes to kind of indicate that she's not crying. She's not sorry. She gives a little sweet look, and then she gives like, I'm gonna fucking rip your throat out.
Uh-huh. She's scary. I'm a really good judge of character. That girl scares me.
But again, she has this huge following of people saying, oh, she's so young. She was going through so much stress, like making all of these excuses for her when she literally stabbed her mother to death.
But remember Valesa?
Yes.
She stabbed her. Well, she didn't, but she had her boyfriend stab her and plotted her mom, killing her mom. And she's out now with a baby of her own.
Yeah, but she served her time.
She did.
Yeah.
But was it enough time for taking someone else's life?
So there's a lot of other examples of people who have had like certain characteristics about them that make them more attractive to the general public. They're just like, they have these traditional features that just are generally thought of as being more attractive than others. But this is like a really good example of how people can reevaluate what somebody did and like make a different judgment based on their attractiveness. And that's basically what I'm going to talk about tonight, even though we're already like an hour in and I barely started my topic. So according to Wikipedia, there is a universality, which I don't know if that's a real word.
There's also a Caesar salad.
Caesar salady. A Caesar salady of attraction. And this study has been conducted numerous times, like over different cultures and over different time periods. And there's like this striking similarity between all of these, just like across the board, of what is deemed attractive.
Uh-huh. I've heard this.
Okay. So do you have any ideas of like what things are considered attractive?
Symmetry.
Yes. That's like the biggest one.
I've heard that.
If you have a symmetrical face, symmetrical features. Other things are your feature ratios. So if you have larger eyes, you're deemed more attractive.
Okay.
Like in relation to your other features. Mm-hmm. Usually like a smaller nose, plump lips, things like that. Regardless of ethnicity, regardless of gender, regardless of any other like variables, those things are all thought of as being more attractive than not.
Across the board.
Across the board. And some scientists theorize that this is because it's like thought of as a primal, like, you don't have infections. You are generally healthy if you have these things. So it's just like a, if you have like, a, you know, I don't know.
No, that, I mean, I can see that because like bright eyes, like is a sign of health. Like you don't have goopy eyes. You know, when people have a cold, they have kind of the glassy, their eyes are kind of swollen.
Right.
Like, I could see the eyes, larger eyes, being a sign of health and attractiveness. I could see that.
And even studies indicate that, like, just newborns, infants who are barely, like, getting able to, like, see things clearly prefer things that are more symmetrical, and they generally, like, tend to gravitate towards that than things that are not symmetrical. So they're trying to, like, basically determine whether this is nature versus nurture. Mm-hmm. And it apparently is nature, because it's just ingrained in you that, okay, this means good. This is something healthy. This is something that you could potentially reproduce with. This is like somebody who I want to hang around with because they're not going to give me diseases and whatever. Okay. I don't know. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's just kind of why it's thought of as being more attractive. So then we're going to get through this boring part real quick, but it's okay. Important.
I'm interested.
You have to look at like the ethics of this, because yes, it is a primal thing that you can't necessarily change, like that you just think of things this way because it's ingrained in your brain. It's not necessarily like, oh, you're racist, you're sexist, you're whatever. But then you have to look at how that influences your choices that you make in life. So this can be seen in politics. So one thing that's known in politics is that when a politician is going to campaign, they will hire like a makeup artist to make them look more likable and more symmetrical.
Okay.
So like, okay, for example, Joe Biden. A lot of people see like these little tabs. I don't know if you've seen like pictures. He has these like little tabs on his ears and people are like, what the hell is that? Well, it's theorized that that's cosmetic tape.
Like holding his face symmetric?
Right. So like you can use different like tapes and stuff that like pull your wrinkles up. So like maybe you sleep on your right side of your face all the time and you're starting to get a bunch of wrinkles there, and they can take like tape and like tape it up so that your face looks symmetrical.
They can also do Botox. Why don't they do Botox?
I don't know. They probably do that too. But like, you know, Botox almost only goes so far. Okay. And eventually you start looking scary with too much Botox.
But Donald Trump was not an attractive man. I wouldn't call Biden attractive.
Well, it's not necessarily attractive, but like not always sexually attractive, I guess I should say. So like it's
the look of a pleasing to the eye.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, you don't look at somebody and you're like, ooh, you're, I mean, I don't know. There's certain politicians that I do.
But it's probably because you know their policies.
And it's an making an effort to get you more to a, like, likable appearance rather than.
Well, I've heard, though, like, there's people, there's, you know, three people applying for the job. And those three people are exactly the same qualified and have the same experience and have the best references. But the one that is the most attractive will get that position.
Exactly. And that segues perfectly into the theory that beautiful is good. And this is an effect that was studied or published, I guess I should say, in the National Library of Medicine. And it is a very present phenomena when dealing, I know you want to say phenomena.
I love that you can read my brain.
I saw you out of the corner of my eye, like, smile right when I said that. But it's a phenomenon when dealing with first impressions of others. Targets who are attractive are rated more positively and as possessing more unique characteristics than those who are deemed unattractive. So then we go into physical attractiveness and the criminal justice, like, system. So, okay, how do we determine if somebody's innocent or guilty, typically?
They go to trial.
Before a jury.
Right.
So kind of sucks if you got one wonky eye and you now have to go to trial. Because the jury is automatically going to look at you and not think of you as positively as somebody who has two perfectly straight eyes.
That's really interesting because, like, my first thought was, like, oh, well, then they should do, like, blind trials and just, you know, hear what the person has to say or people have to say. But so much of it is body language. Mm-hmm. You want to read that body language. How are they sitting? How are they moving? How are they, what is their face doing when you're talking about this? That's really interesting.
Yeah. It's super wild. So, not too long ago, holy shit, it was 11 years ago. Sorry, 11 years ago.
So a little bit a while ago.
Yeah. Oh my God, 11 years ago.
Was what?
Was Casey Anthony.
No.
That was 11 years ago. So when Casey Bitch. Anthony, I'm going to read you like this Bitch. Little ex.
You're every time say you say her okay, name.
You can say that every time I say her name. But I'm going to read you this excerpt. What's that word?
Excerpt.
Good thing we're doing podcasts. I'm going to read you this little section of this article really quickly because it's going to explain, like, this study that they conducted way better than I can. So when Casey Anthony was accused of murdering her daughter, was found not guilty in 2011.
Disgusting.
The typical reaction among many viewers of news and news shows was one of speechlessness. After all, many wondered, how could she escape a guilty verdict when the evidence against her seemed to be so overwhelming. Attempts to explain how the jury could have rendered her not guilty were immediate. In the months to follow, even years to follow the trial, experts and social commentators shared various explanations, thoughts, and ideas on how the jury could have possibly returned a not guilty verdict. One inescapable possibility was her appearance, namely the fact that she was viewed as many to be an attractive defendant, played a pivotal role in the way in which she was viewed by the jury and ultimately led to a verdict in her favor. The belief that Anthony's attractiveness led the jury either consciously or unconsciously to treat her with more leniency or to believe her side of the story. Whether attractiveness was a contributing factor in the Anthony trial is unknown, but it remains a viable and interesting factor that's worthy of more research. So what do you think about that? Do you remember very much of that trial?
I remember the trial, and I remember feeling like I got punched in the stomach when she was not guilty. But it's hard asking me, I think, because I cannot even think of what she looks like at all because I can't visualize things.
Oh, yeah.
But I have I don't know if she's blonde, brunette. I can't picture her at all. I have no idea what she looks like. I'm going to look her up.
Just okay. So kind of funny thing, like with her, not really funny, but like memorable thing that happened, because yeah, I do remember a lot of people, especially like on radio shows and like, you know, morning news where people are just kind of like freely discussing the whole case. She was considered like, oh, she's this hot chick on trial. And I think she was like, she did a wet t-shirt contest. And then I know like people made like porns about her. Where they like had
pretending
people.
To be her?
Yeah.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. It's really disgusting.
So she is. She's a pretty lady. She's looks, you know, thin, long, pretty hair. She has the big eyes. Very thin face. She's very pretty. But her daughter was adorable.
Yeah. It was really disgusting. So in order to conduct the study, to kind of like kind of determine definitively whether or not having these attractive features makes you have a basically get out of jail free card.
Mm-hmm.
They conducted the study that followed 90,000 adolescents over a year and tracked their involvement in criminal activity. So basically what they did is they took like this big pool, 90,000, like I said, and they divided them up and had another pool of people look at their pictures, not knowing anything about them whatsoever, and kind of give them an attractiveness rating, like, I don't know, 1 through 10. And do that over time as these adolescents went on with their life for, like, several years. And then they tracked all of the criminal behavior that each one of these adolescents was involved in, mm-hmm. and what resulted of that criminal behavior. Like, did they get a warning? Did they get like a more lenient sentence, or did they get like the harshest punishment for whatever they did?
Okay.
So the analysis began by examining the relationship between their attractiveness and criminal involvement in the full sample in males and females separately. And the attractiveness negatively associated with criminal involvement in the full sample. In addition, the relationship between attractiveness and criminal involvement is negative and statistically significant in females. The relationship between attractiveness and criminal involvement is not statistically significant in males, but there was definitely like a trend.
So I would have thought the opposite. I don't know why.
You would have thought that attractive men would have been gotten like more lenient sentences than women?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I kind of expected that. I kind of expected that women could get away with more than men.
Well, I think women can get away with more than men, but I'm saying the attractive men versus the not attractive men. I could see the attractive men getting out of trouble more than the attractive women. I feel like attractive women and not attractive women could get out.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, because like as this whole discussion started out with Cameron Herron, yes, he was considered extremely attractive to like all of these young people on social media, but he still got a harsh sentence.
Harsher than the other guy.
Right, harsher than the other guy. So like it kind of depends on like how the court proceedings go. Like, do they take the deal? Do they go before a jury? Like, how many people?
There's so many variables.
Exactly. So it's really hard to tell. But it's obvious that like throughout history, we have seen this sort of phenomenon happen. And one of the things that like you mentioned, I don't know if we were recording at the time, at the very beginning, is that there's like this group, like groupies, that obsess over criminals simply because they are like traditionally good looking. So I wanted to play you a little clip. Stop it, TikTok. Stop it. A little clip. It's only a couple minutes long of some of the Ted Bundy groupies and like the things that they say simply because he was considered hot.
Bundy goes into its fourth week in Miami today after a long weekend. Friday's session was delayed because the defendant was suffering from a virus. He's accused in the brutal slayings of two Florida State University sorority sisters in January 1978. His trial has attracted a steady and unusual stream of spectators. Robin Lloyd of station WTVJ reports. Each day, the courtroom is filled with spectators drawn by a fascination with Theodore Bundy himself or by the gruesome details of the crimes. Bloodstained pillows, pictures of the murdered co-eds, evidence that the women were sexually abused. What is unusual to see is that many of the onlookers are women, young women, contemporaries of the five Florida State sorority sisters who were assaulted in their beds a year and a half ago.
Every time he turns around, I kind of get that feeling, oh, no, you know, he's going to get me next, you know.
But yet you're fascinated by him.
Very, very. Every night when I go to bed, I just, you know, I get very scared. I shut my door and lock him, you know.
I'm not afraid of him. He just doesn't look like the type to kill somebody. You try to imagine yourself in his place and to see how he's feeling, looking at the pillows with blood stains and everything, and if he really did it or not.
The trial has drawn women from as far away as Seattle, where Bundy is suspected of other sex murders. Why is this happening? According to one psychiatrist, it is a mixture of fear, intrigue, and in particular, sexual attraction.
And so, yes, I do think this is, in an underlying sense, a sexual attraction, using that word very broadly for the moment. But there is no question but what violence does quicken the pulse of many people, and certainly of young women.
The young women themselves aren't too sure what it is that attracts them to the trial. Are you a little scared when you look at him?
Yes. It scares me to be in the same room with him, but I know there's other people in there, so...
Why do you do it?
I don't know.
Robin Lloyd for CBS News, Miami.
Thoughts?
So while you're playing that, like, I'm like, well, why were people so obsessed with it? There's so many other murders and terrible things, you know, not, I mean, worse and around the same time of Ted Bundy.
Right.
Like, we have talked about some of them on the Ripple. But also, looking back at cases that I've been obsessed with over the years, and, you know, the very first case that I, you know, I can remember getting into the true crime world was the JonBenet case. And is that because she's a beautiful little girl?
That's a really interesting point. I didn't go down that rabbit hole, wormhole. But yeah, you make a really interesting point, because she was like a very beautiful, I mean, she was like a little pageant girl.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why it gained so much attention?
When there's so many other little kids that unfortunately are murdered. And well, then there's the whole like white women syndrome.
Right. Yeah. And that might be a more of a cultural thing that isn't universal, but maybe like our culture, I mean, it's hopefully evolved now. But yeah, if you have blonde hair and blue eyes and fair skin, you were in the news a hell of a lot more than other people.
Right. I mean, you could go on so many different tangents in this whole, like, what's beautiful, what gains attention.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's so many different aspects to it. And this one is a little bit different, like, when you're talking about Ted Bundy, because I think it goes a step beyond him just being attractive. He actually has this other element of attractiveness to being a serial killer, and there's a certain group of people who find that additionally attractive with his like already symmetrical features. Mm-hmm. And like chiseled jawline, and he had a unibrow though, that's really gross.
Should have gone got waxed.
So according to Women's Health, being specifically attracted to a serial killer is considered a, I'm gonna probably not say this correctly, but hypristophilia. So that's considered sexual attraction to people who've committed extraordinary crimes, and may explain why many women are attracted to killers like Ted Bundy. Many serial killers throughout history have had love interests who met them after they were incarcerated, and there are several studies that theorize that behind the initial attractiveness, they enjoy attention and like being needed in a relationship. So that's like a step beyond. So once these people are incarcerated, then it's like, okay, well, all you have is me.
I'm your friend. I'm here to buy you cigarettes, like, and candy, and
run away because you're in jail.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's really fucking creepy. And that could be an entire episode on its own.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's all those people that fall in love with someone in jail, and they get married through a glass wall, and yeah.
Yeah, so like Richard Ramirez is another one who I thought looked like a fucking psycho from the beginning, but he got a lot of attention.
Really?
What?
He's got a lot of attention?
Yeah.
Why?
People thought he was hot.
No.
Right? I was surprised by that.
Well, and it's funny because you were saying like, oh, women are attracted to, you know, other good-looking serial killers. I was trying to think of another good-looking serial killer. I mean, I didn't really think Ted Bundy was good-looking, but he's the one that's kind of known as, like, oh, the hot serial killer.
Right. And then, like, Charles Manson, like, again, ew, looks like a fucking psycho. But not only did he get a lot of attention, like, once he was being charged with killing people, but beyond just the drugs and shit that he was providing people, he used his attractiveness to lure people into his cult.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's another element, like our
eccentric, dynamic kind of personality.
Yeah. And then just like generally like being symmetrical.
Huh.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it basically all comes down to the fact that we all have monkey brains regardless of how much we've evolved, and we make poor decisions based off of those monkey brains.
Yeah.
And then to kind of finish it off on a lighter note, do you remember Jeremy Meeks? Does that name ring a bell at all?
M-E-E-K-S?
Yes.
It sounds familiar, but I don't know why.
Okay, let me show you a picture and tell me if you remember seeing this guy.
Okay. Did I go to high school with him?
Maybe.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do remember. When you first started saying the mugshot, I thought of him, actually.
I knew
there was a guy that everyone was going crazy over. Yeah, I remember him.
Okay, so Jeremy Meeks, you might know him as Hot Mugshot Guy. So in 2002, Meeks was charged with robbery and corporal injury to a child. He was sentenced to serve 2 years in California prison, during which he admitted to claiming the Northside Gangster Crips. Is that so their full name?
I didn't know that.
So in 2018...
He has a Wikipedia page.
He sure does. Because Stockton Police Department arrested Meeks for felony weapon charges, and mugshots were posted on the Stockton Police Department's Facebook. Within 24 hours, Meeks' photo had acquired more than 15,000 likes, 3,700 comments, mostly from women who were enamored with his looks. The next day, on June 19th, BuzzFeed recognized Meeks' mugshot as a meme. And on Friday the 20th, Twitter fans created hashtag Felon Crush Friday in honor of Meeks' mugshot.
That's not even creative.
No, it's not. As of 2021, the post had received 95,000 likes, 24,000 comments, and 11,000 shares. His mother set up a GoFundMe in an attempt to raise money for his bail, and they raised more than enough to pay for his defense lawyer. And on February 5th, 2015, Meeks was convicted by a federal judge and served 13 months in of his 27-month sentence. Once he was released from prison, he immediately had a modeling contract and was flown to the world of Tommy Hilfiger fashion show.
I did not know any of this part. Oh, yes.
He became the ambassador for high-end fragrances, had roles in music videos and movies. So I think he ended up, like, marrying some supermodel. And I don't know. Like, he had a kid with the model. It got crazy. He's famous now. He is still famous to this day because he is hot, basically. That's what it all comes down to. If you want to succeed in life, you gotta be hot. And that's why the Ripple podcast still only has about 100 listeners.
Hey, that's like 97 more than we had last week.
Yeah. So it worked out for him.
I mean, he is. He's a very, very attractive man.
But he's like, he has a history of domestic violence.
And I know. Against children as well, didn't you say?
Yeah, but like. And he has little interviews and stuff on different, like, YouTube channels. And he says he's turned his life around. And
well,
he did.
For him.
He admitted to, like, yeah, he was a fuck up when he was younger. And he did some stupid stuff and he regrets it. And, like, he has remorse and all this stuff. Maybe if he's being honest, who knows?
But he also has a huge tattoo in the middle of his neck that's an N and a C, which I'm assuming is for Northside Crips.
Probably.
So it's like,
maybe
he
just really loves North Carolina. I don't know.
He also has a teardrop tattoo. Doesn't that mean you killed somebody?
I don't know. I don't know these things. I thought that's what it meant. Or like somebody you love died in murder or something.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I just, there's a lot I can forgive, but there's a lot that I'm going to hold you to, and I'm not going to give you a Tommy Hilfiger high-end fragrance line because you beat the crap out of your girlfriend and some kid.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish, like, I had a happier ending. That was, like, a little bit of a lighter note. Okay, I'm going to try to do something nice here. Cause we talked about a lot of stupid people who got a lot of attention because they're hot, and I might be a little mad about that.
A little bit bitter.
But what's important is the victims, and they don't get nearly as much recognition because these assholes steal their spotlight, and they should be remembered a lot more than all of these other people.
Yes.
So after everything happened and the sentencing took place, the Tampa area decided to lower the speed limit in that area from 45 to 30.
Good.
And they also made a few other changes to campaign for safe drivers, especially young drivers, and did a lot of stuff and things that were good and help people stay safe and words.
Lots of words.
Lots of words. So I wanted to read just a part of his victim impact statement. So it says, "It's about the moms in this town, and I think she would be really proud of that," widower David Robinault said after the sentencing. "She was the type of person who never wanted to see any person suffer, and this would have been a very hard day for her to sit through. But ultimately, if she knew our goal was to make these streets safer, being the humble person that she was, she would accept her sacrifice and be grateful for it, giving her death some kind of meaning."
Did he have any other kids?
No. I mean, they're really young. They actually didn't even live in that area. They were in the area because he was finishing his private pilot certificate. And they were only going to be out there for like a couple weeks.
I bet he's got so much survivor's guilt.
He does. He said, like in other interviews, like he felt like he brought it upon them for taking them to Tampa.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's really sad. It's really, I can't imagine, like, it's bad enough that this has happened to him. But then to see all over social media on like all of these online petitions and fan pages and stuff worshiping the guy who took your wife and kid from you.
Mm-hmm. That's disgusting.
It's disgusting. And at the same time, like, yes, the accident is Cameron's fault, but the fan clubs aren't.
Absolutely not.
So it's really weird.
All right. So this is a little bit different than two truths and a lie.
Is it four truths and a lie?
Yeah, that was like yours last time, and that was not fair. So I'm trying to lighten the mood here.
Okay.
Because that's what we do at the end of this, is try to have some stupid fun.
Uh-huh.
And when you played the first TikTok video, it was a Britney Spears song.
Yes.
So I am going to read you the lyrics of a couple Britney Spears songs, and you have to finish the line.
Oh, I'm not good at this.
So here we go. Hopefully you get something wrong, because
I'm going to get them all wrong. I'm so bad at this.
I'll start you out really easy.
Okay.
The first song is Oops, I Did It Again. Okay.
Okay.
This is the chorus. Oops, I did it again. I played with your heart. Got lost.
I don't think I even.
Stop.
I don't know. Got lost in the. Something. I don't know.
I got lost in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby, baby.
Uh-huh.
Oops, you think I'm in love. That I'm sent
from above, because that rhymes.
And I'm not
that innocent.
Okay, good. That wasn't terrible.
Okay.
All right. So you did that one. Next song. Baby, One More Time. Ready?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
My loneliness is killing me. I must confess.
I still believe.
When I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me
a sign.
Keep going.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
All right. That was pretty easy.
Yeah, that was it. Okay. I'm glad I got that.
All right. Last one. And this is my favorite. Well, one of my favorites from Britney. Okay. So, baby, can't you see I'm calling?
Okay.
A guy like you?
I don't know.
Should wear a warning?
Okay.
Nope. You're failing?
Yeah, I'm failing. Oh. I don't know it. I'm really bad at it. I do like that song. I especially love when Glee covered it.
Oh, that was a really good Glee episode.
Dude, we need to do an episode about Glee and how cursed it was.
Yeah.
Like that whole show, like the cast, everybody got screwed in that show.
There's 3 of them dead from the main cast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be interesting to kind of check that out.
Yeah.
Do a little snippet on it.
Maybe for one of our Patreon episodes. Oh. We can just do like an open discussion, not like a scripted episode, and just talk about it. Because it's interesting. I don't know. It's just
there's not a lot of shows. It's kind of like the...
Rose is doing karate chopping right now. I don't know what she's trying to get at.
Bruce Lee.
Oh, the Lee family curse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know that they're remaking The Crow?
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And Poltergeist. That's another one. If you do want to join our Patreon, we would like to have a third or fourth or fifth or sixth Patreon member.
I feel like I should join our Patreon.
So you can watch our videos.
Yeah.
And have our special episodes.
Well, we need to make those videos and those special episodes. Well, we have one special episode.
We have one special episode and we have one special video that we need to post. But we have both already.
Oh, so. Yeah. Take your absinthe stuff home with you when you leave my house this time, please.
Too much work.
She leaves crap over here all the time. I only have 400 square feet to work with. You need to take it home.
All right. So if you want to find us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/TheRipplePodcast, I think. I don't know how Brianna and Karen did it, but they found us, and they found us fast. But we could probably link it on our Instagram.
Yeah. What's our Instagram? The Ripple Pod?
I don't know. What's our Instagram?
Let me look it up. We're on Instagram. I can't post anything right now.
You're locked?
Yeah. I don't know how. Oh, it's just Ripple Pod.
Okay. Just Ripple Pod, not The Ripple Pod?
Correct.
Okay. So on Instagram, we're Ripple Pod. On Facebook, I think we're The Ripple Podcast.
Nobody does Facebook. Do people still do Facebook? I don't know. Email us. What's our email address?
TheRipplePodcast@gmail.com.
I think so. Should I check that too?
We need to have these posted.
We did that for a while. Remember we wrote them on the wall? Mm-hmm. TheRipplePodcast@gmail.com. Hey, we haven't done this in a really long time, but send us your creepy, weird stories. We'd love to read them.
We'll start doing another member page.
Let's see if we have any email. I haven't checked in like a year. Oh, yeah. Shit. We got a lot of emails.
No, from all junk mails.
Yeah.
Oh. It's okay. All right. So, yeah, send us a message. Like us on Instagram, Facebook, Patreon. Send us an email. Rate us, review us, subscribe to us. Just like us. Just be our friends. Even if our faces aren't symmetrical.
Oh, we should post pictures of ourselves using that, like, mirror feature.
No, that's scary.
No, then we'll be symmetrical.
Oh, okay. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Until next week, don't forget to be a ripple.
Fountain.
Until next week, don't forget to be a fountain.
Not a drain.
Bye.
Bye.